Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 20 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster, here today to do something that has been brewing for a couple of months, and the pot is steaming, it's whistling. It's time to swap this puppy out and possibly put another one on the kettle. I have prolonged talking about the Luka, Lakers, Dallas, trade, blockbuster, all that for as long as I could, because I said I don't want to do it from a linear perspective. I don't want to be lost in Laker land. I don't want to be delusional. I don't want to be nearsighted. Far-sighted. I want to be impartial. I'm a journalist, folks. I want to get both sides. I said, I've got people in Dallas who are, you know, close to the situation, and I want to do it with one of them. And today, I'm here with my man, Sean. Sean, I'll let you talk to the people. Welcome to D-Hoop University. We will get you a student ID and an account number as soon as we get your financial aid information. It's all squared away. But thanks for coming, bro. What's up, man?
Dude, what's up, man? Thank you so much for having me, Daryl. You know, as a little context, he's been trying to get me on for a while. And like, he hit me up right after the trade. And I was like, I don't want to talk about basketball ever again in my life. I was like, there's no chance you're getting me on there. I'm so upset. I'm going to say stupid stuff, get myself canceled or something. Yeah, my name's Sean Bush. I've been, my little credentials, I guess, is I've been just a diehard Mavs fan since my earliest memory is probably like 03, which is like the Dirk, Van Exel, Finley, Nash days. I think I was about like 6 or 7, but I just have like a really faint memory of that playoff run. I love Van Exel's little like headband like, that sticks with you as a 6 and 7 year old. I thought that was so cool. But yeah, I mean, it's been a very interesting few months over here in Dallas. And I would say I've got a pretty good kind of pulse on the fan base and how people are going through it and how people kind of processed the information in the time. That was just insane. Like the craziest trade that we've ever seen in this league. So yeah, excited to jump into it, man.
Yep. I'm happy to do it as well. And let's just stay there, because I found out about the trade. We're in New Orleans. It's my girlfriend's birthday, literally. And it's either midnight going into her birthday or we had just got back from dinner, one of the two. And I'm trying to watch the Royal Rumble. I'm such a good boyfriend, man. I said, don't worry, babe. We can watch the Royal Rumble after dinner. I won't get spoiled. The whole nine. Don't worry.
Distract me. Yeah.
I'm a team player. And we get back, and I'm maybe 40 seconds into it or something, and I get a text from Shiv, who you probably heard on the spot, and another text from somebody. Either way, Shams pops up on my phone in the next 15 seconds, and it's this Laker trade. And we're about to, I just, you know, TV's queued up, and I jump up like she thinks something is wrong. Like she thinks I've lost a loved one or like there's breaking news. And I'm like, there is. This is not real right now. I immediately text my dad. I'm like, Dad, did you see this? I know he didn't. He's also, it was late at night, and so we were in the same time zone, coincidentally, but how did, I want to do the timeline sort of where we've gone from there to now quickly, just to sort of cover the gaps.
Yeah.
But how did that initially land?
I was nuts. Our old buddy, Hashir Castello, called me instantly. And he was actually kind of reassuring me. He's like, are you seeing this? What's happening? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm like freaking out, you know? And I'm like checking all these different sources. I'm like checking other, you know, I saw the Shams tweet and I was like, Stein said anything? Did he get hacked? And Hashir's kind of reassuring me. He's like, dude, this isn't real. Like, he definitely got hacked.
Man.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, this tweet was 3 minutes ago. Like, if Shams got hacked, he'd be on that thing. Like, that would be down, like, quick, you know? We'd just be seeing screenshots. And sure enough, yeah, like, the other reporters kind of came through and started corroborating it. And then the package, the full package came out. Boy, was that a disaster. And then on top of that, my older brother, Connor, who's, you know, equally just a diehard Mavs fan, I knew I was watching his puppy because I knew he was at a concert with his wife. And I had about like a two.
What, talk about a buzzkill.
I know. I had like 2 minutes of like, do I call him and ruin his night, or do I let him just like figure it out on his own, you know? And then I was like, I kind of came to the decision, this is like a loved one dying, you know? It's like, I need to tell him, like, he's got to know, you know? So I called him.
Man.
I can't.
No joke.
I'm at a concert, and he excused himself to the bathroom, and I had to like repeat myself like 5 times. I'm like screaming on the phone. I'm like, we traded Luka, you know? He's like, what? And they ended up leaving. I felt bad for his wife. I think they left.
They ended up leaving.
Like, he stayed for a little bit, but he couldn't. He was just having a terrible time. He's on his phone the rest of the time.
I'm and shelling so, myself.
After 30 minutes, you know. And they came back.
Oh, man.
I'm sure, you know, Meredith, his wife, just wanted to pick up the dog, but then it turns into like a 45-minute conversation between the two of us. Like, how can this happen? But yeah, it was. It was brutal. And then, we can move on to the timeline quickly after that. But yeah, there was just a few.
Yeah, well, so we'll sort of, you know, the Lakers showed life from a defensive sample size.
Right.
In like a few games before we traded AD. AD does the Sean sit down, says, I'd like another big man.
Is that the move?
They said, oh, yeah? How about Daniel Gafford?
We got two for you, Gafford. Oh, yeah.
And so we acquire Luka. Expectations through the roof. I think the Kardashians are at the game now. I think, you know, they did gangbusters and a couple ratings. We won a few games.
Yeah, you know.
We have no idea who we are. Oh, man, that's bypassing the Mark Williams, you know, caveat. But
about all that. That would have been huge for you guys.
You don't say.
Yeah. Sorry.
Open you up know what I mean? Yeah. And from there, you know, we show signs of life. We actually end on a high note. We get the third seed, whatever, whatever. AD makes his debut. He's looking like a freaking menace.
One of the best games I've ever seen from him, like, ever. I mean, it was incredible. And that's saying something. I mean, this is Anthony Davis, but, like...
And mind you, like, I don't want to also gloss over, because it happened quickly and we moved on quickly. For 24 hours, though, there was a bit of, like, mourning for Anthony Davis. Not mourning, nowhere near the extent. But there was a... Even though we acquired Luka, so maybe you already, you know, could imagine that there should be nothing but elation. You know, as a fan or as a fan base, just getting this player. But we weren't happy to see AD go. And it was as shocking as it was on that side for us as well. No inklings that that was happening in LA.
Right.
And, you know, we got a chip with our guy.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be defenders of Anthony Davis for 5 years, you know.
Right.
And with that, you have no choice but to sort of get attached a little bit. So it was a bummer. It was a bummer for a minute letting AD go. And in the moment, I was definitely sort of saying, but God, but guys, you know who we got, right? Right.
We didn't have to send Dalton. We didn't have to send Austin. You know,
let's gather ourselves. It's going to be okay. And sure enough, he looks incredible for three. And then you guys get the Anthony Davis experience in 2 hours.
Yeah, real speed run on that one.
he starts looking discomfort, you know, he's not okay. And you're like, all right, did you like get the wind knocked out of you? Did you just get like a did you lose, you know, did you hit your funny bone or is something torn? Like there's no, you can't tell for like 60 seconds. It's like, okay, so you're leaving? All right. Well, we'll wait.
Pretty soon after, they're like, yeah, he's not coming back. It's like, oh my God. And that was, fun fact, like one of the only, I was so upset with the Mavs. That was one of the only games I watched post-trade. I was like, well, I got to check out Anthony Davis. Like, this might be a reason to get yourself excited again. And it really was. And then just crash and burn. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty brutal. And like, to your point about like on the LA side of things and losing AD, I'm sure like in LA, everyone still feels this and remembers it like yesterday. But I feel like outside of the city, you know, kind of the casual NBA fan, it might be easy to forget how insanely good Anthony Davis was in that finals run. I mean, just probably, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it felt like the best sustained stretch of basketball he's probably ever played in his career during that kind of finals run. The shot was falling. The defense was incredible, as it always is. He's attacking mismatches. And I feel like every year we get removed, it's easy for people to kind of point to, hey, this is, you know, LeBron carried Anthony Davis to the championship. And like, couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, that was a true coast.
Oh, it was a coast. And if anything, he should have had the finals MVP. And LeBron just had a couple better games in the finals where AD did what was needed and it didn't translate to a crazy box score. But we're not there if he doesn't hit the game winner against the Nuggets. And we don't run those teams sort of off the court how they did without him being just at a different level. I agree. And it's not gone. It's definitely not gone. Dallas can utilize it, I'm sure.
Right.
He's not washed, you know, the injury bug, whatever. Hey, I've been, like I said, defender for the past few years, 70 plus games two seasons ago. And I want to say that's coming off. I could fact check it right now, but I want to say that's coming off of 65 plus the year prior because he was still, you know, awards eligible. So it's like, all right, he has a rap, but stop recycling non-burns on people because he's actually playing games. So there's stuff to look forward to. The regular season, you know, flares out. And just let's get some music going, you know, just because we never really did. And shout out to my guy, Big Jace, because we're here now where we got to the lottery.
So that's interesting.
The lottery probably lost the last shred with of credibility it had this year. Very hard to believe that Cleveland wins when LeBron's coming out of high school, that Chicago wins when Derrick Rose coming out, that New Orleans wins after the AD trade, and those are just a few. That San Antonio wins after not being in the lottery for 20 years. How somehow Charlotte never can get one, though.
Right. Yeah, you know, Washington, you know, they got John Wall, and it's been rough since, you know.
The math isn't quite mathing, but reiterate, because he told me, how the lottery happened for a lot of the Dallas fans.
It was interesting, you know. People were so done with this team that most of the people I've talked to, including myself, just did not watch the lottery. I mean, people were like, also, our odds were so low. There was zero hope for this team, for the future of this team. We'd kind of gone through the whole Fire Nico thing. Fans were getting kicked out of the arena left and right for chanting Fire Nico because they said it was, you know, against the NBA's policies because it was, you know, malicious or vagrant. And people were like, I don't understand how that is, you know? So we were done. And then people kind of got the alert on their phones, you know, just like little notification. I'm start getting all these texts coming through. What do we do? Are we Mavs fans again? Like, what's the, you know? So it was nuts. I mean, I think people had kind of cleaned their hands, washed their hands of this team and this franchise, and were ready to you know, jump in with the Wings, jump in with the Stars, jump in with the Rangers. A lot of the other Dallas teams are kind of on the up and have some hope.
Is Skeens on the Rangers?
Who? I'm sorry.
Is Skeens?
I know so little about baseball. So
as do I, as I'm asking about like one of the most popular players. Skeens, Paul Skeens, the pitcher or whoever. He's not on the Rangers, is he? Is he? Okay, yeah, we'll move right along. Back to the matter at hand.
We won the World Series 2 years ago, which is awesome.
Especially yeah.
I jumped right on that bandwagon, and then last year we sucked.
And like as you said, you were like, look, the tide's returning. We just accepted what it was. We were going to take our 10th pick and just not really pay attention to what happened until the regular season began again. I feel it.
But this lottery, you know, it does continue a tradition of Dallas has never been particularly lucky in the lottery until this year. They never once improved their position on lottery night, which we've been pretty good for a while. But back in the 80s and 90s, we were like Charlotte, basically. We were terrible. So it was kind of crazy that we were never moving up. But then we move up here and it kind of, you know, we're going to get Cooper Flagg. I think it seems pretty, you know, the reporting seems to be that we're not going to trade it. With Nico, I just never know. I really hope I'm on the camp that they should not turn it into a Giannis or a Kevin Durant or something. I think this is a gift and you need to reset your timeline. And not that you need to trade Anthony Davis or Kyrie or anything, but you know, here's an opportunity to build this young core and you've got Lively. But yeah, it's interesting that the Mavs have been lucky in the draft in the sense that they kind of luck into Dirk. No one really knows. People weren't really into international scouting back then. It was basically the Mavs versus the Celtics. Celtics were coached by Rick Pitino and Pitino loved them, I guess, for whatever reason. And then the Mavs loved them. And those were the only two teams really on his radar. And the Mavs made a trade with the Bucks for Robert Tractor Trailer and were able to land him. And then you fast forward to the Luka thing. The Mavs dropped all the way to pick 5. They were supposed to be, I think, second or third in lottery odds that year. They dropped.
Right.
And then
before the Atlanta trade happens.
The Atlanta trade happens. They go up to 3. And people.
And before several teams pass on Luka.
That's the thing. I mean, and, you know, I think the Suns probably get a pass for Ayton at the time, but
local, you know, in-state.
Right. And but people
seven-footer.
Love that, you know, Sacramento and Bagley was a great prospect, you know, but even in the moment, I think it was pretty insane that Sacramento would pass on Luka for Bagley. And that's the only way they're able to make that Atlanta trade. So they really luck out there. And you kind of just go from transcendent white guy to transcendent white guy, I guess. You go Dirk to Luka to Flag with no cross, you know, with just like no time in between. So we really have been kind of lucky from that extent that we're just going to kind of luck our way into 3 superstars. And
I mean, yeah, and you were even fortunate last season when there may or may not have been some aggressive tanking in the final 10 games. Mm-hmm. And you were hoping to get that, I think it had to be top 10 or, you know, or the rights didn't carry over.
Yeah. And
that led to Derek Lively.
Yeah. Which changed everything for us. I mean, like it's amazing what, when you have a, you know, a glaring hole and you put one guy in there, that's like, I mean, he was a rookie, but he was just, you know, I would say about even as a rookie, this is a compliment, like an average level starting center. And it changed everything for our defense, for how we could let Luka and Kyrie guard people, for how we've defended pick and rolls, all that stuff. So that was, yeah. I mean, if we didn't get that pick, no way they make the finals run a year ago. I mean, just no chance.
Okay, so I've got a couple of sides, and it's tough because I want to keep this streamlined. And I think we've set the scene for one. I think we've set the scene right now, and I coming next, I want to sort of do an audit now that we, you know, you've got some pieces because everything right at this point in time between with the month to go, still before the draft, nothing's off the table in terms of what might happen. And you guys have learned this the hard way as well, that nothing's off the table. Some rumors are far-fetched. some are unrealistic, and sometimes unrealistic, you know, or far-fetched things happen. So it's not worth talking about, but we sort of want to keep it in perspective. Let's go ahead and talk about what Dallas should do now. And first, I'm wondering what you think they will do based off of your read on the front office or, you know, the decision makers, where the team's positioned, because this can go a couple of ways. Hey, I'll say this, and then it's all you. But it's difficult knowing that Giannis is lingering above all of this conversation. There's a presumption because, hey, maybe we're assuming. Maybe he stays in Milwaukee. We don't know how they get out of this. We really don't. That's the read on that situation. So it's not far-fetched that Giannis might be getting moved this summer. The Western Conference, man, I just wish he wasn't coming to the West.
It feels like it's going to happen if he gets traded. I mean, I'm looking at Dallas, I'm looking at San Antonio, I'm looking at Houston, I'm looking at OKC. I mean, there's not a lot of East teams that are like jumping to the forefront for me, at least from a trade chip perspective.
So to tee you up with what you guys, you know, what you're feeling, you know, what you think they might do and your personal feelings. My only take on it is if San Antonio is the leading contender, say Golden State is a wild card, and for that matter, almost any other Western Conference team. If you're the Mavericks and these other teams that are either lottery bound or have a lot of assets, like the Houston Rockets, if they're in position to make a play for Giannis, would you be okay with him coming possibly in state and saying, well, yeah, we got Cooper Flagg though. And I'm not trying to water it down. This is a straightforward question because the only way those lower picks or other trade packages can be outbidded is if you guys threw the first out there. And instead of it's for me, it's just a little hard for me to sit there and be in that organization saying, like, being confident in what we're doing, knowing that Giannis is 4 hours down the road and step A of getting back to, you know, relevance and not thinking 5 years down the line has to deal with teams that we sort of let assemble on our watch.
Right.
It's a tough spot to be in.
Here is... So I'll start with, I think they will take Flag. After we won the lottery, I was convinced that they were going to trade it. Just because Nico has been so outward facing about, hey, we've got a 2 or 3 year window. We want to win now. We're doing this around Anthony Davis and Kyrie. And to me, I was like, oh, he just got his, you know, I guess literally his lottery ticket to, you know, get the third piece that whoever he wants, whether it's Durant or Giannis.
We also didn't mention the Kyrie injury, which is interesting. And I think is he still opt-out status this season? Or like he has the option?
He has the option, I think, which I would assume he's going to opt out regardless. My expectation will be he opts out and re-signs for like a 3-year deal or something. I was nervous after Luka trade, he might leave. But I do think he's, you know, good friends with Anthony Davis. And I do think getting the first pick, whether that's Flag or turn into something else, is probably enough for him to feel comfortable staying. And he really...
Dallas embraced him. It's in my opinion.
Dallas embraced him and he's really embraced Dallas, like in a big way.
That works for a guy like Kyrie. Just wanted us to mention that. I'm also not very much worried about his recovery. I think that give him the time. This isn't a rush it situation and the urgency really isn't all the way up on that. It's like Kyrie's in our back pocket, sort of. So, yeah, we didn't mention that. I just kind of wanted that out there.
Well, that's actually kind of a great seg. So that was going to be part of my reasoning for why I think they will take Flag is if you're already – Kyrie's probably going to miss more than half of next season. And then you look at the point guard situation outside of Kyrie now that they traded Luka. You've got Dante Exum, you've got Jaden Hardy, who's not a point guard, but he's probably not even a good shooting guard. But
Coronado High School, shout out.
And then you've got, and I didn't mean to be, I love
Jaden. No, you're chilling, bro. It's real. We've talked about Jaden a few times on here.
And then Brandon Williams, who you kind of showed
him
in the year last year. But, you know, he's an undrafted, you know, guy that they're still trying to figure out what he is. So I'm looking at next year, and I know that they're probably going to make some trades, and it'll probably be around Gafford or PJ Washington or both, because now you have Anthony Davis and potentially Flagg or Giannis. Either way, it's going to be kind of...
Max Christie, you know, he doesn't have the most defined position, but I think that he's a piece that you guys will enjoy.
I really like Max Christie, but yeah, from a, like, initiating offense standpoint,
right, it's
not really his game, you know?
I'm with you.
But, yeah, so I'm looking at next year, and it's like, well, you're probably not winning a title next year. And when you're balancing that with all the trades you made to build this roster around Luka originally, they've got nothing from a pick perspective going forward. Everything swaps or gone out the door.
Right, yeah, there's the Porzingis deal and the car, you know. Yeah.
All that stuff. And then you've got, yeah, the Washington deal, the Gafford deal. Everything had, like, a pick attached to it. And then on top of that, you're built around Anthony Davis and Kyrie, who are both, you know, older and injury prone. So it's a bit of a ticking time bomb, in a sense, where I think the team is really talented. But if you have two straight years of Kyrie and or AD getting hurt, then you've probably already missed your contender window with those two. I mean, they're still going to be very good players, but they're probably not a 1-2, you know, on a championship team at age 35 and 36 or whatever they'll be, you know, at 34, maybe.
Yeah, it's a different conversation.
So I think Flagg is kind of this godsend of, okay, he's good enough to where you can compete right now. You can plug him in right away. Not that he's going to be your go-to guy, but he can.
But yes, there is a wait and see. There is he could surpass expectations, and holy effing crap. Like, the conversation's different.
You know, like, you know, no one thought Luka was going to be, everyone thought he was going to be really good, but I don't think anyone thought he was going to.
No. Year two, Luka shocked everybody.
Yeah. I mean, his first team All-NBA as a second year player. It's crazy. Yeah, so I think Flagg gives you this ultimate, plus you still have Lively, so you've got your kind of base young core of, hey, we got these two awesome front court guys that we can build an elite defense around going forward. But also, they're both good enough to where, hey, we can compete for conference finals, maybe finals, things break right, kind of thing. The West is a beast, so it's you know, hard to say. But, you know, on the flip side of it, taking the Giannis angle, I do think he would be the guy. I've seen Durant thrown out there. I've seen Booker thrown out there. I don't think, no disrespect for those guys because they're two of the best players in the league. But to me, that's a non-starter for the Flagg pick. Giannis, I do think, is interesting. I went to college at Marquette in Milwaukee.
Yes, sir. Shout out.
A lot of Bucks games. I kind of, on, you know, having just gone through that myself, I almost don't want to do that to all my friends in Milwaukee. But, you know, it, like you said, I mean, it's starting to look, I wouldn't say inevitable, like he's going to get traded for sure this year, but the Bucks have really backed themselves into a corner on that one. And they, you know, eventually he's probably going to leave. They just, you know, they don't have the guys around him.
Let's stay there. If the Shams bomb drops, you guys sent the first. Maybe it's a three-teamer. Maybe the first goes to Milwaukee. Maybe it goes somewhere else. And that other team pours everything that they can to get the first. And you guys just send everything to Milwaukee. So Milwaukee doesn't get Giannis. They give up Giannis, and they don't get the first pick. But they get a ton of crap. Ton of crap from somebody. You guys got Giannis. Let's say Anthony Davis is a part of this situation. You know, let's say he's kept. Let's say you have Giannis and AD, and let's also maybe just consider AD's dealt. Let's say you got Giannis and some more and more salary cap.
Right.
I don't think that Milwaukee does this, and this is just a C scenario, third option. I don't think Milwaukee sends Giannis for AD and whatever else you guys could sum up that isn't the first pick. I don't know if that gets it done for Giannis. I don't think so,
but it's also one of those things where who knows? Because I think all their picks are out the door too, and that might
exactly
be where they're like, hey, we need to stay good. And Anthony Davis is the
possibly
best. Yeah.
And in an East where they could stay in the playoff hunt, and you never know. And we didn't also think that Luka and AD was a straight up trade, just essentially before it happened. So we don't know how these teams consider what or who's actually offering what. So just listing out those however options that you guys end up with Giannis, how do you feel?
So
is it title window? Like, we're back, baby? Like, is 34 popping? We're buying Greek freaks.
If we get Giannis, I think in any scenario, the expectations got to be we got to win a finals like right now, right away, in my opinion. Not that like we should be the favorites, but like the expectation in the city should be, hey, we did this to go win this year or next year or the third year, and we got to put everything into these 2 or 3 years. And
we got a window again. Somehow, you know, you probably keep Clay. Kyrie's probably still back pocket because I don't know who's taking him pre-recovery. So it's like you're kind of back pocketing Kyrie with Giannis, and say you kept the pick, say you kept AD, say you didn't, but you got options to get now who wants to come play with Giannis in the West. I don't know. I just wanted to stay there and conceptualize it because I'm with you. If I'm that person, I might sell a little better than Flag better be the freaking truth.
Right.
Which I think he will be. I think he will be. But I think you laid it out properly as well. That if we are just rolling with the pick, it's we've got a chill time. Like, everybody relax. We're playing a different game. I don't know.
I do have one crazy one for you. I have thought through the Giannis for AD swap before. And that one, if Milwaukee would do that, I would do that. No disrespect to AD, but I do think Giannis is better. But one I was thinking through that would be kind of crazy. It'll never happen, but
I keep coming
back to San Antonio, the situation they're in where they've got Castle, they just traded for Fox, and now they've got the second overall pick. And you know, you're staring at Harper probably.
Ooh.
And you know, what do they do there? Would San Antonio ever consider something around a 2 for Anthony Davis swap?
Glad that you said that, because I meant to also mention that I've seen you mention or just say, hey, I wouldn't be opposed to double dipping in this lottery.
Yeah.
If we're pumping the brakes, this could be the time to go get some talented players. I think this draft class is good.
Yeah. And
that's something. I'm not with you.
Are real bad, and there's probably 5 or 6 in the top 20. I mean, it's a good point guard draft. That's, you know, and on that trade, I was more like, hey, maybe we flip Gafford for pick 14 or PJ or something like that and grab our favorite point guard. But yeah, I have kind of thought about that, you know. Then you slide Flag in at the 4, you start Lively at the 5, you keep PJ and Gafford off the bench, and then you solve your point guard problem with Harper, and then you've got a young core of Harper, Flag, Lively to build around with Kyrie mentoring. Now, would San Antonio ever do that? Probably not. But you know, I think the logic that I thought was, well, you know, San Antonio
they could though.
They've got their young talent. You know, Anthony Davis and Wemby, you've got immediately best defensive front court in league history. I mean, two of the best defensive bigs we've ever seen. And I actually think they would be somewhat complimentary on offense.
No, they would, bro. That's insane.
They could provide some spacing for each other. They could both do the middlemen. They can kind of both do everything.
Wemby wants to be on the perimeter. AD said that he would like somebody next to him that wouldn't mind getting on the block every now and then too.
Right. Yeah. They can.
Oh my God.
They kind of fix each other's problems for each other because they both they both will bang, but don't want to bang the whole game. And it's like, okay, well, we can just switch. You know, we can just switch off. So yeah, that was one little crazy idea I was kicking around. But yeah, I do think it would make some sense of, you know, and I almost have PTSD saying this because it just reminds me of the Warriors and how poorly this went for them. But I do think that they should look into a bit of this two timeline model. How can we compete right now with a flag, but also get him, in addition to Lively, one or two other guys that we can have that grows with him at the same time? So if we can't...
I'm with you, bro. That would be wise, and that's a mold that's working, man. The super team hasn't died, right? But the super teams are built now. Yeah, it's Oklahoma City. It's you got to get about three picks in a row that are bang, 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 and let it watch it. You know, just water it and watch what happens. It's Boston of don't trade the guys, keep them. Don't trade them.
Chemistry build, yeah.
Let them get there. Denver. Add residual pieces, but what's working, let it work. Ooh wee. I think Dallas is in a good spot. I think Flag is a player worth latching onto and taking a swing on the benefit of the doubt, or I just want to be a part of what happens here versus watching it happen somewhere else. To try and be the 1-30 team that wins a championship over the next 2 years, that wouldn't, and especially like you said, you're like, if we go all in now again, are we only creating another crash and burn in right. just 2 years' time?
And you look at OKC and the way Houston's, you know, building. I mean, LA with Luka and LeBron. I mean, you guys never struggle to get talent. That's going to be, you know, having those two guys is like one of the best draws you've had.
We let a lot go as well.
So I don't think that this West is getting easier. Not to say that Dallas can't be competitive and give anyone hell in a series next year with a Flag or with a Giannis, either way. But it's one thing to be able to beat anyone. It's another thing to be able to beat anyone four times in a row, you know, and I'm not sure they're quite there yet. Regardless of what moves they make this offseason. So, yeah, I think that's where I lean more. Play it safe. Take Flag. Take our time.
Yeah. And that's funny because Dallas has this sort of tie to a couple of the remaining teams in the playoffs. You know, there's Carlisle. Carlisle and Indy
Magician.
Doing his thing. Was Carlisle traded?
No, it was a...
Oh man!
Termed as a mutual parting of ways. Carl can be kind of a jerk. I don't know if we're allowed to curse on this guy. He can be kind of an a-hole. But I think that it's funny. It got turned into Carlisle's too hard on Luka, and that's why he got fired. Which the reporting sense is it was more the case. Luka didn't like how hard Carlisle was on like Salah measuring. Like he would just be so mean to the bad players on the team, apparently. And Luka did not feel comfortable with that and apparently got upset.
That's hilarious.
And they just split. Yeah. They were like, this isn't going to work. And it did devastate me. Mavs fans were, for the most part, very excited at the time. They did not like Carlisle. And I think that's just a classic fan base always learns to hate their coach because anytime you lose, you're like, oh, you should have been playing Christian Wood. You know, like it's so easy as a fan to, you did this wrong and you could have done that. But I was pretty devastated because he's particularly in the playoffs. He might be about as good of a playoff game planner as we've ever seen from a coach. I mean, he'll throw.
No, he reads that puppy, man. And that 2012 job. Good Lord.
Incredible, you know,
and that's with using some of the right pieces, and that's just knowing what you have. And it's funny that you described him that way because now it makes sense. If his floor is like that, if this is like, no, I don't. If you're trash, I'm gonna let you know you're trash. If you're not cutting the mustard, you will know. Based off my coaching method, it makes sense why that team is 12 deep,
right?
And they're all kind of confident, ready to get out there because you know. That relationship
and it's
with
why
coach.
He can mess with their minutes. You know, it's why he can be like, hey, you're not playing this series because we need shooting and you don't really shoot. You know, I feel like a lot of other coaches are like, hey, you're one of our eight guys. And like, we're going to go through it with you. And that's, you know, has its, you know, merits and positives in its own respect. But he's very good about saying like, I mean, the Mavs almost beat the Clippers and Luka's, what is that, his second or third year? When Porzingis got hurt and he was starting Boban Marjanovic for like half the series. And it was kind of working. Like, it was crazy, you know, like, he pulled Brunson, which like was, he was, Brunson was probably our third or fourth best player at the time. And a lot of people were upset with it, but he was a terrible matchup with the Clippers at the time. You know, like now you would never do that, but like it actually kind of worked. Like, he was too small. He was getting swallowed by Kawhi and Paul George and all those guys. And he was,
yeah, and he wasn't this Brunson yet. There is the Brunson element. Do you, because, you know, as Laker fans, we've watched Ingram, Kuzma, Lonzo, Julius Randle, Alex Caruso, Ibiza Zubac, Larry Nance, like wherever they fall along the line of just NBA player, we've watched so many that we've had just go be good somewhere else.
Right.
In spurts or not. So does Brunson just always like sort of irk you of like, oh, I wish he was here, or I wish we just gave him somebody at that time was expendable? Or is it like, I don't know.
That was the original Nico blunder, right? You know, that was the first thing where I was like, it was funny because he redeemed himself very soon after. And then I think he was very popular up until the Luka trade. But at that time we were like, man, we hired this shoe exec with no, like, no GM experience. And then how that timeline worked, it was nuts. So he's coming off the playoffs, and it was the playoffs that Carlisle pulled him. So there was a little bit of consternation there, but his max contract at the time was going to bring him like a seventh or eighth man at the time. And I went back because I had Mavs fans challenge me on this, where they were like, well, no, he wasn't worth that money at the time. He didn't blow up till the playoffs. And I was like, that's not true, but I'm going to check anyway. I found about seven articles that offseason about, you know, hey, should the Mavs re-sign Jalen Brunson or not to this extension? And every single one was like, yeah, this is for sure. Like, just because he had a bad series, like, this is easy value, you know. And Nico, and he's on the record as saying, I definitely would have accepted it. And not only in the offseason, but for probably another month or two into the season, I would have accepted it for sure. Nico didn't do it because we were thin on trade assets because of the Porzingis trade. And he saw Brunson as our only real trade chip. And he thought, hey, we need a co-star for Luka. We're going to trade Brunson at the deadline. We can't give him an extension. It'll make him not eligible to be traded. Then Luka gets hurt in the regular season. Brunson starts. He crushes for like 2 weeks. He's averaging like 20 a game. And then he's like, guess what? I'm not. They're like, hey, how about that extension? And he was like, nah, I'm good. You know, let's talk in the summer.
I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. You know, then they get through the playoffs. He's incredible, that playoffs run. I mean,
oh, man, this is a great revisit.
He was like 23-24 game that run. It was crazy. And again, Luka missed part of the first round series against the Jazz, and people were picking the Jazz because they were like, oh, no, Luka, they're going to shut down.
Right. And just a few months ago, we were like, we need a co-star for Luka. And it's like, holy crap, we might have his co-star.
Right. And then you get to the offseason.
But you couldn't have done the deal when you could have trade deadlines before the extension deadline.
Right.
He capitalizes on that. So you enter the deadline, not in let's make the deal mode. So you're not, no deal's happening, basically. What do you know? He's like, oh, I'm there. And now he doesn't want to, and now you can't ink him either.
It's crazy. And the season ends, and Cuban has done this throughout his career. He'll just be like, we're never letting Nash go. And then he'll let Nash go. but he goes, hey, you know, they asked him about Brunson. He didn't want to, you know, get a tampering fine, but they're like, hey, do you plan on bringing him back? And he goes, we can pay him more than anyone. So it's like, okay, top priority. And then they don't set up a meeting with him. Or they had a meeting set up with him, and the Knicks offered him their contract, which they thought was so high that they just didn't come back to the table. They were like, we're good. they thought, and then the assumption was, hey, we can work out a sign and trade because the Knicks don't have the money to make this signing. So we'll get some stuff from them back. And then the Knicks made like three trades in a day right before the signing to where they cleared like 20 million cap space and then just signed him outright. So yeah, I mean, that was brutal. I mean, if you were to think, obviously you don't, if you don't let Kyrie walk or you don't let Brunson walk, you don't get Kyrie. So it works out decently well in that respect, but at least, you know, you would still have Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith and a first round pick, you know, in a swap, which, you know, was super cheap for Kyrie at the time. It's kind of insane in hindsight that that was the deal. But
things happen. And I love doing that on the spot, talking and keeping in perspective some things. A player media culture is not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the discourse is where it should be. And that gets recycled. And now everybody's talking about nonsense. So I like revisiting things that actually happened, context, and how things are progressing, and not forgetting some of the elements that created where we are. And it's funny how Dallas has a hand in, you could say, building some of these teams. And I'm also with you. And maybe their next supervillain move is to make the Spurs unbeatable while putting themselves at the bottom of the conference. It's like, yeah, let's watch y'all. Let's watch them run y'all for a couple years. And in 2027, 28, we're going to be nice.
Yeah.
We're going to be the Thunder.
That and I'm okay with that, honestly. I think I'm fine. Even if it's Houston, like, I don't know. The guy I'd want from Houston's Amen Thompson, and they would, I don't think they would even consider trading him for anything. But also, I never thought the Mavs would consider trading Luka for anything, so who knows. But yeah, same token, I would probably do the same thing with Houston. If they want to give me Amen and my pick,
right,
Jalen Green or something, you know, like, then yeah, I'd be comfortable with, go win your championship with Anthony Davis, and we'll see you in 4 or 5 years.
Or crash and burn, and we'll be right here, you know, right. Ready to give you another asset at the deadline. I'm with that. I think that's realistic. And the question that I sort of propped this with is like, are you cool with letting Giannis just go win championships down the road? Possibly.
I think I am, you know.
Yeah, possibly.
I love Giannis, and it's weird. The Dallas, when I was a kid, the Texas Triangle, like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, all those teams were really good at the same time. And there was a real bad blood, you know, especially Mavs, San Antonio. Because San Antonio was kind of like big brother to us. It was like, you know, we felt like Dirk was just as good as Duncan at the time, but we really didn't have our Tony Parker, Monty Ginobili. So we give them these, you know, all-out fights in the playoffs, and then they would always win in 7 or win in 6. And finally,
and Houston had Olajuwon, and so it's like they already felt good.
And even after that run with Yao and Tracy, they were pretty nice. You know, they had like Ron Artest they brought in.
Very relevant. Very relevant.
And since then, you know, it kind of, the Mavs fell off and the Spurs stayed good. And then the Mavs got good and the Spurs fell off. Houston was kind of been bad throughout all of it. Well, I guess they had Harden. That's not true. They were really good during the Harden days, but that's when Dallas was down too. So I am honestly, genuinely really excited. I'm kind of rooting, and I'm sure I'll regret this in 2 or 3 years, but I'm kind of rooting for Houston and San Antonio to get as good as they can. Cause I kind of miss that juice. I miss those days.
I feel it. I'm with it.
Playing these teams all the time and we all hate each other. And like right now, my least favorite team's OKC. Just because
that seems popular,
that bad blood, you know. And that one's kind of fun because they feel like just another Texas team. But yeah, I would love to get those juices flowing again. I felt like the Mavs were kind of rivalry-less for, that's not a word, but for a while there, we had a little bit of a spat with the Suns. That was kind of one-sided just because we won that series. It was more just us being really mean to them for the rest of the year because they had the apology tweet and all that nonsense. But yeah,
nah, so, man.
I'd be cool with it, man. I think I love Giannis, so I just want him to end up in a good spot if he does get
moved.
And Houston or San Antonio would be awesome for him. I mean, he would crush it there.
No, let's rapid fire maybe a couple of things on the way out of here. One being the lottery. I just have a take, sort of. Ah, you know what? This is a better segue. As we're talking about Texas, expansion is on the commissioner's list of topics that they'll be discussing this offseason, this summer. Prevailing notion is Las Vegas and Seattle, if the league were just to add two teams. But again, I just want everybody to consider that all options are possible right now. Things aren't done. And I wouldn't rule out relocation of some franchises. So I'm sure some are just simply underperforming. I was at that Pelicans game when I was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The season ticket holders next to me are like, dude, I don't think this team's going to be here another 2 years.
And it's been like that a while. Yeah. I don't know why they can't get people to go to the games. I remember I had one of my older brother's buddies went to college in New Orleans. I can't remember which school, but he's like, they were so desperate to get people in the arena. On like games on Tuesdays, you would go and you'd like, just for going, you'd get like two free shots of liquor and a beer or something. Like, it was like, they were just giving away stuff like crazy.
You would have to see it to believe it. We got there Wednesday. We wanted to go see the Celtics Friday night. I said, I wonder what the tickets for Wednesday night are going with. They're playing Dallas. An hour before the game, guess how much I could have got floor seats for?
Floor seats?
Floor. First row.
Like $150?
Yes.
Is that spot on?
Yes. $125. It was a club seat that came with everything. They were playing Dallas. You will remember this game. It was early February. The final was 137 to 135 or something. It was insane. Kyrie had like 40. Zion had a crazy game. And I'm just slapping myself. Like, how did I pass that up?
That's nuts.
And for the same price, we got incredible seats still. Not on the floor. But we got to see the Celtics, and Tatum hit his game winner during the regular season. That's your favorite team. So we still got lucky in what we saw. Yeah. Couldn't believe the value for that. So I just don't want people to rule out relocation of some franchises.
Well, and for context on that number, I've got a San Antonio story, which is a good comparison because it's like another small market, you know, but they love their team. So when Dirk was going into his last season, he had not yet announced that it was going to be his last season yet, but I could kind of sense this is it for sure. So I'm waiting for the second tickets open up. So I'm like, I'm going to buy tickets to the last Mavs home game immediately, so I can see his last game, and people won't put together like 9 months that this is going to be his last game. So maybe I can get him while they're still cheap.
Even if it's not, right. You know, we don't know at that point.
One, shame on you, NBA, for not seeing this coming. Their last game was in San Antonio, not a home game, which at least they put it in San Antonio. But I was like, come on, like, you didn't prepare for maybe Dirk retiring. Give their last game a home game. The second it opens up, I checked Mavs. Other people had my idea. Like, I was looking for nice seats, and it was like lower bowl was already like $2,000 or something. It was crazy. It was like everyone, you know, and I was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. then I go to San Antonio, and I was like, I was not planning on floor seats, but there's two floor seats like right behind the Mavs bench open. I was like, I feel like this is like destiny. I gotta take it. I look it up, and this was before we had even played the first game of the year. And those were like, I think 1500 a pop or 1250 a pop, but I was like, screw it. I'll do it. I'll find some friend that
we're going to finance this. Yeah. We're going to finance this puppy.
Pay for it all. They'll pay for, you know, like I'll take 50% or whatever. If not, I'll sell it and I'll go solo. I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a good little, I mean, and the Spurs were terrible then. I mean, this was what, 4 years ago or so. So this is pre-Wimby. Yeah. This is pre like anyone interesting that they'd gotten. Duncan's already gone. Parker's gone. I think Parker's in Charlotte at this point.
Yeah. Not even LaMarcus Aldridge is gone. I'm just playing. He might have been there.
It was nothing. So the fact that you could find four seats for 125.
Insane, man. Insane.
I'm sure it's got to be like
Don't bother looking, man. Just don't bother. And so while there's the belief that Seattle's coming back, Vegas is happy. I wouldn't, you know, are we overlooking in Austin? Is four teams in Texas too much? Is Austin a bigger city? Is there a Kansas? Is there a Midwest wild card? Is there a Kansas City sort of, I don't know, or that's probably it. But I wanted to mention Austin because, I mean, hey, that team could probably, that city might be able to support one.
Right.
Sort of being their first real deal professional.
They definitely got the people. I know that there would be, I think the holdup with Austin would be, are we afraid that this is going to, I think, because the city of Austin, I think, pretty much just claims the Spurs. And would there be any fear of, okay, yes, they have the fan base to support their own team, but we're going to big time cut into the San Antonio fan base? I don't know. I think that would probably be fine. Austin's growing at an insane rate, and there's a lot of big sports fans there. So I think that they would be a good spot. I like the idea of four personally. And expansion teams. I
think we could do more than two as well. I think we could do more than two. The talent is there. Let's make the draft longer. Like, I don't know.
And I haven't thought it through in terms of like scheduling, how they'd break down the divisions, all that, you know, the conference.
Yeah, screw it. They'll figure it out.
Exactly. It'll work itself out.
Do we need to get a team in Birmingham or Tuscaloosa or something? Like,
yeah, I like Austin. Obviously, like you said, I think Seattle and Vegas are layups. I do think there's a few Midwest cities. My parents are from the Midwest, so I got to rap a little bit.
Yeah, man.
I think Omaha would make some sense. I think Kansas City would make some sense. Omaha, I'm a huge Creighton fan. That's where my dad went. And Creighton's got like a pro arena. I mean, it sits like 18,000 or so, and it's newer. It's nice. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just share that. I'm trying to think.
It would be fun, man. It'd be fun. I'd be with it.
I know they're thinking international, you know, like I know they've looked at Mexico City before. So that would be a nuts one. I feel like travel though, that would be, whoever got drafted to the Mexico City team would just be screwed. You know, you got to fly up to New York. That'd be brutal.
Yeah. I think that's still, you know, while they want to go international, I think honestly, it might, yeah. Let's wait.
Let's keep
the talent. If the talent's coming here, you know, if you're not competing with that, maybe let's wait. I don't know. Another idea is the lottery washed. We were talking about the lottery, and I think that there's a chance that, look, Silver Loves tournaments. Just make the teams that don't make the NBA playoffs play in a tournament on these off nights, maybe. And let's extend the postseason a little bit. Give the guys a break and have all the teams either, you know, host the games on seeding or neutral sided. Play those games in Vegas until you get a team here. And, like, look, think about it. The Hawks weren't bad last year. They got the first pick. Dallas was a play-in team this year. They got the first pick. While Utah's and Charlotte's and other these teams like can strike out every year, they're not getting rewarded for any weighted system.
Right.
You're not going the NFL route of just inverse order. Here you go. So might as well make it competitive. You know, like if you suck, if you didn't make the playoffs and you also can't compete to make your team better, congrats. Here's the 13th pick. Do your research.
And to that point, you know, I'm inclined to say I love the lottery right now because I just did the first overall pick. But, you know, there is aspects of the lottery I like. I do think it's fun, the lottery night, the randomness of it. I think they went the complete wrong direction in terms of, I know the idea was, hey, we'll smooth out these odds. People won't tank anymore. Flash NBA. I was saying at the time, I don't know why people can't understand this. As long as guys like Victor Wembanyama and Cooper Flat and, you know, Cade Cunningham, Zion Williamson, Luka, Ayton, these guys exist, teams are gonna tank. You know, like it's just gonna happen. And I don't think you're rooting that out in any way. Now, I would maybe be a fan of kind of the WNBA model where, hey, let's do a lottery, but only do it for like four or five teams, six teams tops, you know, the bottom six. And you can jump from 5 to 1, but this way you don't have like I'm happy as a Mavs fan, but you know, usually when you screw up as royally as we have, like you're supposed to be in the wilderness for a little while. And here I am, yeah. Like, hey, we might compete next year. You know, like it's
yeah, it's not, it's so random to where it's like, I don't, do you lose people? And again, people want to say it's rigged or a mystery and the whole nine. And look, let's just forget that as well. Here's your new first overall pick tournament.
And yeah,
I'd watch it. Who's mad? Those are going to be more games to air. Those are going to be more game checks. They'll, you know, get the players in attendance. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's something. It's an idea I just wanted to throw out there.
Well, it'd be super exciting. I mean, imagine someone like oh, Colin Sexton caught fire. You know, like some guy just goes nuts, and you've got a team
right
making a run. It'd be, I would watch. I mean, I'd be much more into that than like the in-season tournament, which I'm not even hating on the in-season tournament. I think it's fine, but
I'm with it as well. Right. Yeah. And it doesn't change much outside of the four games that happen here. So it's like the four teams that play here. Why not do this with teams that have, with guys that are on podcasts already? Like Miles Bridges needs something to do right now, man. I think this is my last thing. These series are playing out, man. I've been talking about Indiana this whole postseason, so I'm not late to the game with Indiana. I'm not here to come say, oh, is Indiana legit? They've been legit. They ended the regular season extremely legit. And if you're late to the party, you're late to the party. Same with Oklahoma City. Jury's still out. Y'all, you see what shirt I'm wearing? I will say that it's funny. I got to go on TV last weekend. I was asked my finals prediction on air. And I'm like, oh, I'm not chump. I'm not scared. Let's say it. I'm like, Minnesota. And then they could proceed to get beaten by like 45 over the first two games. And it's like, this the guy you brought on? So thank goodness. Yeah, right. Thank God they got a win in game 3. I was prepared to get up here and excuse make. Because that's what people would call it. But I was going to say, what I can say is that, you know, I think Anthony Edwards is my new favorite player. And it took me just having to be like, look, I'm going to sort of disregard how good Oklahoma City is and say that, yeah, I think Minnesota's going to get it done. And I'm like, who else do I do that for? Yeah, freaking Lakers. Yeah, LeBron. That's what it sounds like. Okay, well, this is cool. Do I just embrace this? I didn't know how I would handle the post-LeBron era. It's been my whole life. So,
well, that's how I felt during the Luka era in Dallas.
Yeah.
I could talk myself into every series by the time the series started. I mean, even that Celtics finals, I remember the whole playoffs. I was like, if we run into the Celtics, like, it's just a nightmare matchup for us. It's not going to work, which is exactly what happened. And then by the time we got to the finals, like day before game one, I was like, probably Mavs in 5. You know, it's like you just talk yourself into, you get a guy like a Luka or an Ant or LeBron, it's, you can talk yourself into anything because they just,
yeah,
unguardable to a degree.
You're down 15 in the third and you're like, all right, look, the run's about to start.
Yeah,
like, if we could just get it to like 7, like we're good.
I'm the big one on that. When we're down like 22 in the first half or something, I'll be like, we get it to 14 by half, we're fine. 15, I'm like, nah, it's over. But yeah, I always pick some arbitrary number.
I just sent you a picture, man. I sort of meant to do this at the top. I think it's also great at the bottom. This is hilarious, man. This is a blast from the past.
Draft?
Yes, oh, sir.
What year is this? Oh, my, it's for this year.
Dude. So let me explain it for the listeners. Sean and I, we've talked about Chuck on this pod. We've talked about Michael on this pod. The four of us, we might have had a fifth, you know, like ancillary member, you know. Somebody else was in the group chat, maybe even. But this is during the pandemic. We're like, yo, guys, we're spread across the country. Let's just make a little affiliate group and just start making content, right? Long live Ball Things Considered. And this is a great idea at the time. Yeah. So I'm with it.
These this teams was, age pretty well, honestly, for how early.
We got to talk about it. It's hilarious. This is the 25 and under draft. And that happens, but when companies do this gimmick, it's always within the realm of the NBA pool still. You know, let's rank these guys or let's, you know, do something with these guys that are, you know, first 5 years in the league. We said, no. If you are breathing on the earth under the age of 25, you are eligible for this draft. We said, this is to make the best team possible. Let me just read this intro really quick. It's a paragraph. The BTC family just finished up a draft of every basketball player on the planet, 25 years old or younger. The goal was to make the best team possible for the 2024-25 season, which is this year. These playoffs are happening. For example, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball of the 2020 draft class's rookies would have 4 years of experience entering their fifth season. They are concluding their fifth season right now.
Yeah, going into Anthony Edwards' rookie year. Oh, my God.
Every high school, college, and international player was available. The order was Sean, Daryl, Chuck, Michael, Serpentine style. And kudos to – this is funny, man. So let's just run through the rosters really quick of how they end it. I'll let you read your team.
All right. My starting five is hilarious.
I can't remember the order of these picks either.
We guessed the starters. I will say I remember this so vividly. Just a little side. My roommate in college at the time, Ashiri, he got Wembanyama. And I was saving Wembanyama to like the last pick because I was pretty convinced that none of you three knew who he was because he was like 14 at the time.
When I just found this, I was like, bro, Wembanyama was like 14 and a half. Like,
and I was on him early, and I didn't, you know, Ashir and I would always talk hoops, and it was one of those where, like, I had lectured him about this French 14-year-old kid, and I was like, this didn't set in with him. He's just zoning out, you know? I was like, he's going to give it 6 years. So I was like, I kind of figured, I was like, oh, I'll save him for my last pick. And who I really need to jump on is Amani Bates, because I know these three guys know who Amani Bates is. He had just won, I think, Gatorade.
Yeah, it was like a sophomore. Yeah.
So I jumped on Amani Bates thinking I'd have Wimby in my back pocket, and then Hush pulled the rug out from under me. Anyway, my starting five. We had to predict our starting five and our bench, and my bench is much better than my starting five in some respects. I did pretty okay, though. Cade and Luca were my one and two.
Yeah.
Amani Bates at the three, Porzingis at the four, Jalen Duren at the five. And then I had four bench guys. I got Fox. I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Man, that was lucky. Jaylen Brown and Scottie Barnes. So pretty nasty, honestly.
Who at the time, I don't think that either of us penciled in Shai for an MVP.
Yeah, no way. No.
Jalen Duren. That's
a later pick for me.
Right. Jalen Duren hadn't played a college game yet, I don't believe. And yeah. I think you're fine with that. I think Duren is one of the first 10 centers that I would want in the NBA right now.
Yeah. I wish Porzingis was a little healthier, but honestly, fine with that too.
He's a champion. Hey.
Scottie can play up a little bit if he needs to.
You've got a five-time.
He's tough, though. I mean, that's got
All-NBAer in Luka. Luka, was that maybe his year two? Or was that sophomore year Luka, maybe?
I think I had the first overall pick, and I took Luka.
Off the bat, none of us took Giannis.
Wow. I guess that's right. Did we have like an upper age limit at all? I don't think so, right?
I remember us debating 24 or 5 at the time because I took like Ingram, who might have been like pushing it or something like that. Or like that made a couple of these guys borderline. But right. I went through and I said, wait a second. How did we miss that? The guy that won like the next three MVPs.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane.
None of us took Embiid either. None of us took Joel Embiid.
By that point, I don't think he had won an MVP yet, but he was All-Star.
It was, yeah, there was, but that, it shows that we were, all right, so let's keep it going. My team, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, I took Brandon Ingram, Karl Anthony Towns, I took DeAndre Ayton, who might have been coming out that season, or it was a rookie maybe. Off the bench, I had LaMelo Ball, Tyler Hero, Jonathan Kuminga, who I think was maybe in that draft class, and Mo Bamba, which I caught heat for right away. But I'm like, look, man, I'm going to want some vets come 24-25.
Yeah, like, rim protector.
I thought he was, you know, going to be a five-year starter by this time.
It, like, wasn't a strong start, but we still all thought, like, oh, yeah, he'll be a starter down the line. You know, like, it was, we were not.
I don't think it was the worst pick.
Experience.
I don't think it was the worst pick, which it might be still, which is coming up next, I believe. But, I mean, hey.
Honestly, Amani Bates might be the, I might have made the worst pick. It was defensible in the moment, but that might be the worst.
Who knew? Who knew, though? I think, hey, Ja Morant and Donovan Mitchell, this team's going to be hard to guard.
Ja might have been a rookie or like going under. That was probably right around then, too.
Add LaMelo, pretty positionless, you know, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I got Towns, who's doing work right now. And, I mean, if Aiden's backing up, you know, hey, I'm not – this is just a very funny revisit.
Yeah.
Let's run through Chuck's squad. He had Lonzo starting point, Devin Booker, check. Jason Tatum, check. A.J. Griffin.
He's starting four. A.J. Griffin.
Okay, right. AJ Griffin's no longer in basketball, and that happened. Bam Adebayo, check. I'll give him that. He had Jamal Murray off the bench. That was a young Jamal Murray, so I'm not mad at that. He also drafted B.J. Boston.
Now I know why Chuck didn't want to hop on this.
Hey, John Collins got drafted. I can't, you know, if Mo Bamba got drafted, I can't be mad at John Collins getting drafted.
Yeah.
And then he snagged Chet Holmgren. That was a good pick.
Call on Chet. I mean, Chet was probably
a good pull. Like a
junior in high school or something. I mean,
that was a good pull. And I'll let you read this. I'll let you read the last team to keep it balanced.
The last team, like, aged probably about as well as it could have, but positionally, it made no sense even in the moment. At point guard, he's got Trae Young. At shooting guard, he's got Ben Simmons. I think his argument was those two could counteract each other.
That was like third team All-NBA Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Small forward, he's got Michael Porter Jr. At power forward, he's got Zion. And at center, he's got Jokic. I don't even, in real life, I don't know. I'm sure that team is really good. I would love to see it. That's just like a hilarious.
If somebody can make it happen, it's Jokic.
It looks like a bunch of cartoon characters, you know. It's like Jokic and Zion next to each other with Simmons and Trey in the backcourt. Just visually, it would look hilarious. Off the bench, he's got D'Lo. He's got Jonathan Isaac.
D'Lo might have been the elder statesman in this class.
Yeah, he might be like the oldest guy. It's like him, or he's older than Booker, right? I mean, like, it's probably him. Then he got Wemby coming off the bench. Hell of a pull. Wemby and Jokic together. Oh, my God.
Wemby, Jokic, Zion, Trey.
And then Onyeka isn't the worst off the bat.
No. Okongwu rounding out that team. What a freaking.
We might have to do a little. I didn't realize it was this year. We might have to get the game back together and do one for 2030 and see where we're at.
I'm taking my son. I'm like, nah, dude, just wait.
I'm going to have him on the program, you know.
Nobody knows yet. Bash is coming for the class of 2038. Mark it. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I would definitely put down Max Nowinski. I don't even know if
he's
basketball or not, but I know his, I think Dirk's wife was a sprinter or a soccer player.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. And they're Kenyan. So I'm like, oh, man.
Yo, I'm like, nah. I'm like, Zurich.
They're going to be like, politicians, or they're probably not even into sports, but if any of their kids gets into sports, I'm buying all the stock.
I'm goodness. No, I'm like, no, bro, Zuri James is the one. Just wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had somebody else on coming to mind. Who the freak was it? Oh, man, I've been reffing these AAU tournaments in Vegas each summer. I'm like, nah, some kid I saw from San Diego last summer, he's going to make it. Kid's a unit. I was like, there.
You seen that Paige Buecher's tweet that kind of went viral that was like...
The journalist who...
Yeah, the guy was like, best 12-year-old I've ever seen. Like, watch out for this one. She's the next Diana Taurasi. He was like, man. Or not Paige. I think it was.
No, it was Paige.
Oh, it was Paige? Oh, yeah. I mean, what a call.
Oh, that's the real deal, bro. Let's get some tunes going, man. We're out of here. That was what I was hoping to do, bro.
Hell yeah, man. That was a blast. I'll have to come back on. I'm sorry I dragged my feet so long on this one. It was...
This is right on time, man.
It was a brutal, broken process after that trade. I was afraid I might come on here and say stuff I might regret.
From the concrete, who knew that a flower could grow? I don't know, bro. I don't know, man. It's the crazy world we live in now, man. Anything's possible.
100%.
We will, and we definitely will. Hopefully we motivated Chuck. Hopefully we spurred some wildfire, random wild speculation that the internet could do with it as they please. But that was the truth, bro. Sean, man, thanks for coming. Y'all go give him a follow. Let him know where they can find you. So.
On Twitter, I'm Sean Bush, CanUSH3. Kind of not really like, I wouldn't say covering Hoops as much anymore, but I do tweet a lot of basketball thoughts and movies and TV show kind of stuff. So if you're interested, give me a follow.
There we go. And y'all know where to find us, man. Like, follow, subscribe. Don't be a stranger. Do your homework. Show up to class. Participate. Come bring your ideas. You know, they're appreciated. This is a safe space. Pass or fail. Sean, thanks, bro. Y'all tap in. Till next time.
Thanks, man. It was a blast.
Bingo.